Dear Christian friends, Paul Jorstad is a Lutheran pastor from Yucaipa, and he tells the story one Easter morning he was reading the gospel lesson, and he was trying to read it very, very emotional, you know, very triumphant, and he got to that point where the angel declared, and he said, and the angel said, "He is here, he has not risen," at which time he just wanted to get those words back, but they had been said. It was his most disappointing Easter ever. Well, the story of the resurrection of Jesus is really the most dissatisfying from the Gospel of Mark. I don't know if you were listening closely as we read, but having that last verse is, "And they went out afraid and said nothing to anyone," and the gospel lesson ends there, just doesn't seem right. And when you compare it to the other Gospels, Mark just seems to be disappointing. You know, John's got that wonderful story of Mary, and Jesus, you know, thinks he's the gardener, and Jesus says, "Mary," and they know he's alive, and it's such a great story. And John then later has that wonderful story of Thomas, you know, "I won't believe unless I can put my hands in his side." And so then later he appears to Thomas, and then Luke's got the wonderful story of the disciples on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus joins them, and they don't recognize him, and he opens the scriptures to them, and finally, as they break bread, their eyes are open. It's Jesus, and then he disappears, and Matthew has him appearing to the ladies right there at the tomb, and they go and tell the disciples. And so on all the other stories, you've got these wonderful stories of Jesus appearing to different people. And here you've got Mark. Jesus doesn't appear to anybody in our gospel lesson this morning. And it ends with the women say nothing to anyone, for they're afraid. What kind of resurrection story is that? It's just disappointing. Every time I read Mark, you know, I go, that's not the way the story's supposed to go. You could have done a much better job, Mark, than that. But Mark lacks part of what he is saying, I think, is that, you know, Jesus goes before us. And that's what the angel there at the tomb, the white man, the man dressed in white clothing, we assume is an angel, tells them that Jesus is not here. Jesus has left the building. And he's not even, we don't see him. The angel just says, you will see him if you go to Galilee. Galilee where you were born and raised. Galilee where you worked. Galilee where you met Jesus the first time. That's where you're going to see the resurrected Jesus. In fact, Mark doesn't even seem to be trying to convince us that he really rose from the dead. All of the other gospels, you know, look, there are the grave clothes. That's proof the body wasn't taken, because the body just miraculously left those bandages behind. But Mark doesn't mention any evidence. Again, Mark doesn't have a single person who gives an eyewitness account to Jesus having been raised from the dead. The other Gospels, again, have all those wonderful stories that we know, but not Mark, not a single eyewitness to the resurrection. All we have is the white man, or the man dressed in white clothing, telling them Jesus will appear to you if you just go to Galilee. It's disappointing. Mark could have done a much better job, don't you think? But in many ways, that is our experience of the resurrection. You know, we can go to Jerusalem. You can go to where that grave, and we've taken a trip to Jerusalem. We're going to take another trip next year to Jerusalem, to where very possibly the grave of Jesus is. There are no grave clothes there. There is no angel there. There is no body there. We're simply asked, believe the witness of the Bible. But you won't find Jesus there. And Mark, on top of it, I love the irony in Mark. As once you get into it a little bit more, you see he was really writing a very intriguing way. If you remember, in Mark is the messianic secret. It's Mark where every time Jesus heals somebody, every time he casts out a demon in Mark, immediately Jesus says, don't tell anybody, My time hasn't come. And what does everybody do? They go out and tell everybody. After he says, don't tell anybody, and they go out and tell. And now how does the Gospel of Mark end? Finally, they're saying, go, tell everybody. And what happens? They say nothing to anyone. What's Mark up to? Why is he telling that story that way? Well, maybe that's part of our experience of the resurrection. You know, we believe Jesus has been raised from the dead. It gives us a whole new view of life and death, that there is life after death. We believe in eternal life. We believe that the resurrection changes the way we see all of existence. And yet, how many of us will leave worship today and say nothing to anyone? Maybe Mark is throwing that question out for us. Okay, that's what you, when you read it, you go, that's not right. They should have gone out and told them. And then we ask ourselves, well, have I been any better? Have I gone out and shared my faith with others? Have I gone out and shared that Jesus is risen and that's a fundamental part of my life? You know, after I got into that text, I said, well, maybe Mark isn't so bad after all. Maybe he's just throwing it out there to make us think, to say, that's not the way it should have ended. But is that how my story ends? Or do I go out and share the message the way the angels encourage us to do? You know, the resurrection of Jesus is a literal historical event. Mark is so confident of that, he doesn't even try to convince us of it. He just throws it out there. He is not here. He has risen. He doesn't try to give us all the other convincing arguments and the eyewitness accounts. And I think he's captured something there. Because one of the things I think we realize is that we're usually more convinced by the reality of God, not because we've read stories from the past, even the scriptures, but because we've encountered Christ here today. Because Christ is here. He is not there. He is here. And what's going to convince us more, I think, than the story of Mark is if Jesus has gone on before us, not to Galilee, but to Garden Grove, and to Westminster, and to Huntington Beach, and to Anaheim. And will we be able to say, yes, I've gone like the disciples, and as they encounter Jesus at Galilee, we encounter Jesus alive today here in Garden Grove. I think that's where Mark is going to. That ultimately, our witness is going to be most powerful, not as we try to document all the reasons for what happened in the past, although that's true, but the real power of our testimony is, have we encountered the risen Christ? Do we have stories that say, yes, I see him alive in our midst today? You know, he is here. That's what we need to have. He is not in the grave, but he is here. And the most powerful testimony we will have is when we say, sharing those stories of where we've seen God alive today. You know, several years ago, Pastor Cadell led a group to Israel. And there at the Garden Tomb, Dolores Allen, one of our former members, bless her soul, she used to tell the story that after everybody else had left the tomb, she was in the tomb alone and she had a vision of Jesus appear to her. And it was so powerful and real that Jesus was alive. Now, when you talk to Dolores, she didn't try to convince you by the scriptures Jesus was alive. She told her story. I know he's alive because I had that vision of him. Just like Paul had the vision of Jesus on the road to Damascus, Dolores would say, I had that vision too. I know he's alive because I've had that vision of the resurrected Jesus. You know, I tell the story over and over because it's such a part of my story as my grandfather's death. He's sitting in a hospital bed next to death, and he opened his eyes and he said, I see Jesus coming. And he closed his eyes and died. Jesus is risen. We've seen it there. you know, every Tuesday we go over the lessons for the coming Sunday. And one of the stories that was told around our Tuesday Bible study was one of our members was vacationing in Europe. And a good friend of theirs, the former choir director at St. Olaf, died here in Garden Grove. And at that very hour when she died, that couple was worshiping in a cathedral in Europe, and they had a vision of her appearing to them there in that cathedral at that very hour that she died halfway across the world. You can't tell me there's just flesh and blood, that there isn't spirit, that there isn't life afterward. That's a powerful testimony that goes on to say, I believe not just because it's written in a book 2,000 years ago, I believe because there are the stories of the fact that Jesus is here and he's among us today. Or there's a story from the couple Bob and Helene from my last congregation. Bob was an alcoholic. He had liver failure. He was dying in a hospital. And yet Helene, as she was praying, heard the voice of Jesus. And she says, Jesus told me he's going to be okay. And miraculously, he was not expected to survive at all, and he was completely healed. And when she told her husband Bob that story, he quit drinking, and he is now one of the leaders of the church there up in Pomona, Laverne area. And so when she gives her testimony, she doesn't say, oh, I believe just because the Bible says it. I believe because Christ has been present in my life, and I've seen it. I can tell you how many stories around AA of so many people who have reached bottom and all of a sudden they turn to Jesus Christ and they find strength and power and their lives go from being addicted to either drugs or alcohol to being freed and living in the power of God's love and grace. And so Paul Jorstadt may have been wrong when he read the text, he is here, but that is the truth. Jesus is here. And as Mark was saying, where are you going to see Jesus? He's gone ahead of you to Galilee. Galilee, the place where you're born, where you lived, where you were raised. And I think Mark is telling us today, if you're going to believe in the resurrection, you'll discover that there are an awful lot of stories. That Jesus continues to make himself known in our world today. He has gone ahead to Garden Grove. And it's a matter of listening to those stories. So when we want to talk about believing in the resurrection, it's good to have the gospel stories. It's good to have those wonderful stories of Mary and of the apostles on the road to Emmaus, of doubting Thomas. All of those, you know, kind of add to the credibility that the resurrection isn't just a story. It's a true historical event. But what seals it is when we give our testimony. When Jesus has gone on ahead of us, when we can say, yes, I know Jesus is alive because he was there as a loved one died, and that loved one saw him just before he was taken into heaven. He was there, you know, as that spirit of one who had died appeared and sealed the reality of life after death. He is there to give power over addiction and alcohol and brought new life where there was nothing but addiction and sorrow. So it is the witnesses of the resurrection, it's the witnesses of the gospels, but it's also the witnesses of his people today that assure us he is risen. He is here. Amen. Will you stand and pray with me? Lord God, sometimes in this fallen world it's hard to see you. I'm sure it was hard for the disciples, the persecution, the struggle that they lived under. But Lord, we ask, make your presence known here in Garden Grove. Where there is doubt, where there is struggle, we thank you for the scriptures and the witness of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But let us listen to the witness of others who've encountered your powerful presence here today. And Lord, if there are those who struggle, make your presence known that we may know you are risen. You are risen indeed. Hallelujah.